Talk. That's right, Alabama syndicated news talk leader right here, Right Side Radio, spanning north of south of Birmingham, north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa to Gadsden. We're all over the state right now, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, and glad you guys are with us. So we are literally sitting in the new Right Side studio, and I got to tell you, there's a ton of stuff on our website. So let me just tell you about that real quick. Boomer's nervous because I'm I'm pointing people to a website. He's currently working on it right now, and what's crazy is we are actually testing the video streaming. That's going on even as I speak. So apparently now I actually have to I have to get dressed every day for radio. I can't do it in my pajamas anymore, is what we're telling me. All right. Okay. You laugh, Copper. Don't be laughing in the microphone like that. I hear you chortling.
I may be wearing very comfortable clothes right now. Sorry.
It's okay. We this is where Charlene would say, I love you in spite of yourself. That's what she would say. All right. But hey, listen, tons of stuff on the rightsideradio.org website. So a lot of stuff, when I say that, I'm serious. Like for instance, there's things like the Right Side Store. You want to order Right Side coffee mugs, T-shirts, stickers, Right Side socks, because everybody needs Right Side socks. Those are a major deal with me. My family laughs, but I like Right Side socks. And then on top of the Right Side Store, you got other things like, you know, the photo gallery, the descriptions of the show and who we are and what we do, the things that we've written. Lots of stuff is on there. But then here's the other piece. This is what a lot of people use. Because right now, here we are broadcasting literally over half the state of Alabama. But before that, if you were outside of the overly broad range of our AM/FM capability out of the Huntsville market, then people had to live stream the show. Which is cool, because all you had to do in the big wide world, go to the World Wide Web, go to rightsideradio.org, and click on the Listen Live option. And like I always said, no matter where you is, there we is. So yeah, kind of cool. But that's why we have listeners from all over the place, people that call in from out of state. I know for a fact we had a guy that just not long ago called us from vacation in North Carolina. How cool is that? The other piece on the website, as I do these shameless plugs for our website, is the fact that we've got podcasting going bananas right now. So I know that Birdman is listening. Birdman, I got to see some stats sometime soon and see where we are in terms of our podcasting elements. But we are well over 62,000 downloads of the podcast right now. Every single day, Copper takes a show. She breaks it down into pieces, puts it out there where Birdman can get it. He uploads into virtually every podcast forum known to man. And right now, 62,000 plus downloads. What's interesting, though, and I always have to say this because I want to make sure I shout out to my folks in California, is that our second biggest audience is California. Like 670 people or something download us in California. Hello, California. We love you. Hang on. We're going to keep working. Conservatism is going to be back one day in California. I feel it. That's the land of Reagan, so it's got to be. All right, listen. Right Side Radio, we live to be solid, conservative, and just plain right. But I'm just going to tell you, man, every single day I come on this show, and let me just clue you in. I said a little bit of this yesterday, but I'll repeat it now. What I call the mission and the message. And the mission is that every single day we're going to come on here with the principles of conservatism, and we're going to do what I call the four E's. We're going to enlighten, empower, educate, and entertain you. I'm hoping that every single day you leave this show with the sense that you gained a little something from it that you can walk away from and say, I'm a conservative because, you know, it's important that we not just be able to speak what we believe, but why we believe. Because the last thing you want to be able to have happen to you is you're, you know, at the water cooler having a conversation and someone says, well, why would you do that? Why would you vote for that bill? Why would you like that person who's running for office? Well, let me tell you, and that's good stuff when suddenly you realize you're armed beyond the basic conversation. But that's the mission, the four E's. But the message is the most important part. If you gain from this show, let it be because the message stayed consistent. The message is conservatism, and there's four things built into that that I can say easily and without equivocation that Jesus is Lord, America is great, Alabama is beautiful, and life is worth living. And I believe that with all my heart. I love this place, I love this country, and I do love my God, and I don't have any problem saying any of the above. And I do believe that, by the way, even when things are going bad, this show is not going to be a gripe session. It's going to be a show where we point out things that are wrong, but we talk about how to make them right. That's one of the reasons why it's called Right Side Radio. I ain't kidding. I ain't kidding. So if you hung around this show long enough, you know that I typically come in resourced for the discussion. You're welcome to call in and disagree. Just be prepared for the conversation. And every once in a while, though, I have somebody call in and they give me a point or a thought, or for that matter, just a phraseology that I hadn't even thought of yet. And I like that. I like the dialogue. So we take a lot of calls on this show, and we'll be doing that throughout the day, even today. Coming up soon, by the way, we'll be announcing very soon. We have our own 800 number, and I won't put it out there just yet. Just know that it does end with the phrase, go right. Or is it be right? 6-8 right. That's right. That's what it is. It's right. So, yeah, we're going to have our own 800 number. So those of y'all that are used to calling us from where we've been for the last year in the Huntsville market, it's going to change. New number, Boomer answering the phones, and we'll have you a new number here in the next few days. Don't want to overwhelm with technology too soon. Just want to get on the air first. All right, well, I know we're headed to a break right now. We're going to come back in this next segment. It's number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it ESG is DOA. What is an ESG score? Why are our retirement plans being built on companies that are about environmental and social and governance? I thought they were about profitability, right? Well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, that stuff should be DOA. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, blowing it out right now across all of North Alabama. And by the way, there are two folks who caught on a moment ago. So first of all, Chad from Huntsville, I know you're listening. David from Huntsville, I know you're also listening. No, I have not been broadcasting naked up to this point. That has not been happening. I do not appreciate the assertion. No, anyway, I said jammies, pajamas, whatever. Bottom line is, I got clothes on every day in studio. I got witnesses going to test. Right Side Radio coming in without clothes. Anyway, all right, enough of that. All right, so yeah, Boomer, just no more comments from you. You just stay where you are. All right, listen, hey, number one of the Triple Dipper. ESG is DOA is what I'm calling it. It's just maybe it's the military side of me. Acronyms, people love acronyms, but acronyms, what are these things? ESG, what am I talking about? Environmental, social, and governance. If you haven't heard about this, there's this new thing going on right now, and to me, it's pretty egregious. Because keep in mind that when you see a corporation, you're looking at a corporation that is designed for the sole purpose of creating a better product or service for the sole purpose, again, of profitability on behalf of its investors or shareholders. Period. That's it. It's not rocket science. It's basic economics. You don't start a company. I mean, maybe you start a nonprofit. Maybe you start, something that is designed to be there for a purpose other than production. But when you have a private industry in a free market and they are there for the purpose of, building the better widget, if you will, or providing a better quality service, well then, okay, do that. And oh, by the way, you're doing it because, especially those publicly traded companies or those that have shareholders, you're doing it for the purpose of profitability. No, not today, because the World Economic Forum, in conjunction with the leaders of BlackRock, that'd be a guy named Larry Fink, Schwab at World Economic Forum, Fink over at BlackRock, and a number of their other globalist elites have come up with this new thing called ESG scores. I say new, it's been around a few years, but it gained great dominance now in the last couple of years, especially since the Biden administration took office, because they now feel empowered to do all the things they've always dreamed of doing. And oh, by the way, now they're also recognizing how badly the Biden administration is doing, and there's an air of desperation So ESG scores, they've been everything for a while, and I'm hoping they're going to be DOA here pretty soon. I say that because they are not about profitability. An ESG score, you know, used to be if you went as a company, if you went down to the bank and you sought a business line of credit, or you're going to get a loan for that new capital infusion, or you're going to do something to reinvest in your own company and you've got to have bank credit to do it, what would you show them? You show them your books. You show them the finances. If you were an investment hedge fund manager, if you were a portfolio manager like, I'm just going to name one. Well, I'll tell you what, I won't, but you know what I'm talking about. The kind of companies that manage your retirement accounts. Wouldn't you think that their job would be to maximize you for retirement, to maximize your investments? Yeah. But a lot of them these days are getting stuck in the notion they have to provide the best ESG score, and that has become quite the distraction to their ability to be profitable. So an ESG score is environmental, social, and governance. You look this up, it is everywhere. And oh, by the way, they tout it. It's not just them literally, you know, in the background, ESG scores. We don't talk about this, but we kind of do this in the back. No. They brag about it because they need for the globalists to know what they're up to. They need for it to be out there. You find your, like Coca-Cola, go to their website. You'll find them bragging about their ESG score. Delta Airlines, you'll find them bragging about their ESG score. Disney, you'll find them bragging about their ESG score. What it basically means is they've gone woke. They are literally enacting policies whose sole purpose is to show how woke they are. Hey, we gave lots of money to Black Lives Matter. Don't you like us now? Hey, Coca-Cola, we do not like the Georgia voter integrity laws. We think that's bad. You're a soft drink company. Why are you doing this? Well, we just need to make sure that people understand that our ESG scores show that we care about governance. Really? You make soft drinks. Delta Airlines. Well, we believe that carbon offsets are important, so we will be planting more trees to help offset the amount of flights that we pursue on behalf of our paying customers. Okay. As long as you can continue to, you know, get me to my airport on time, I guess you can go plant a tree if you want to. But you know what? The reality is this. If you're investing in a company, don't you want to know that your return on your investment is going to be about more than just, I don't know, did they plant a tree? Did they support an activist group? Did they go for transgender rights in kindergarten's curriculum? Did they, you know, whatever. Well, that's what we're seeing right now. Here's an inconvenient truth, though. Here's an article that I pulled. This one's from Harvard Business Review. Sounds very highbrow. It's not like I sit around reading Harvard Business Review, just so you know. But Harvard Business Review, though, had a great article about this, dated March 31st of this year, so pretty recent. The title of it is An Inconvenient Truth About This ESG Investing. It says, as of December 2021, assets under management at globally exchanged sustainable funds that publicly set in ESG, I'm not going to try to say it every time. Okay, I will. Environmental, social, and governance investment objective. In other words, ESG companies. So assets at global exchange-traded sustainable funds that have ESG objectives worldwide amounts to more than $2.7 trillion. 81% were European, 13% were in U.S.-based funds. In the fourth quarter of 2021 alone, $143 billion in new capital flowed into these ESG funds. And by the way, these are not obscure funds only for the elites. These are funds that sometimes they're like teachers' retirement funds in certain states. It's amazing. But here's the deal. How have the investors fared? Asked the Harvard Business Review author. Not that well. ESG funds, it says, certainly perform poorly in financial terms. University of Chicago researchers analyzed Morningstar's sustainability rating. Morningstar, one of the rating agencies in this. It says, although the highest rated funds in terms of sustainability certainly attracted more capital than the lowest rated funds, none of the high sustainability funds outperformed the lowest rated funds. In other words, they bragged on their ESG scores. They attracted more people to invest in them. But in reality, they didn't have any better scores than the lower ranking companies did. Says that remote result might be expected. It's possible that investors, you know, they might be happy to sacrifice their financial returns in exchange for a better ESG performance. Unfortunately, though, ESG funds, it says, don't seem to deliver better ESG performance ever either. What? Pray tell, what can that mean? Well, it's because of this. There's no consistency in how these rating agencies assign their ESG scores. I mean, it's a scam. They don't have the ability to tell you why your ESG score is what it is here versus if another rating agency did it, because they all have their own subjectivity, their own biases, and they apply those in their ratings. One of them might lean heavier towards environmental and green energy policies. One of them might lean harder towards social, and they want to know how you feel about transgender rights. They want to know how you feel about DeSantis's, you know, laws against grooming kindergartners. And so these ESG scores, they don't necessarily tell you whether they really are an environmentally, socially, and governmentally friendly woke company. And they certainly don't tell you that they're profitable. It goes on from there, though. This study is pretty significant. It says, literally, a recent European Corporate Governance Institute paper compared ESG scores of companies invested in by 684 U.S. institutional investors. By institutional investors, you can imagine, they are common, they are well-known in the industry. They may have your retirement plan, by the way. All these institutional investors had signed on to the United Nations Principles of Responsible Investment. Oh, good. The UN's here now, too. And 6,481 institutional investors that did not sign the PRI were in the study also. They did not detect any improvement in the ESG scores of those who had signed on to the U.S. United Nations Principles of Responsible Investment. In other words, it didn't matter. It was virtue signaling. It's a farce. It's the ability for a company to look like they're doing something neat. And hey, stand with us. We stand with you. We're for you, LGBTQ+. We're for you, Black Lives Matter. We're for you, Green New Deal. In the reality, not so much. Here's the kicker. Now I'll finish up with this article and go to a break here in a moment. There's also some evidence that says in this article that some companies publicly embrace ESG as a cover for their poor business performance. Ha! There you go. It says a recent paper by Ryan Flugum of the University of Northern Iowa and Matthew Souther of the University of South Carolina reported that when managers underperformed the earnings expectations, then they turned around and touted their ESG scores. But when they exceeded earning expectations, then they made few, if any, public statements about ESG. Hence, sustainable fund managers who direct their investments to companies publicly embracing ESGs may be overinvesting in financially underperforming companies. What it basically boils down to is this. It's a woke farce. It's an opportunity for them to look like they're virtue signaling in such a way that they can get the loan they want to do the things they want to do as a company. Meanwhile, what about that old fiduciary obligation they have to their investors? Because, yeah, that's a thing. Tell you what, lawyer Phil is going to kick in on that one here in a moment. Let's go to a break now, Copper. We'll come back from this break, and I'll tell you more about where we're headed with this. And then top of the hour, I got a call coming in from Justin Bogey, fiscal analyst with the Alabama Policy Institute. He'll talk about whether or not the RSA, the Retirement Systems of Alabama, has got any connections to this ESG stuff, and I hope not. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right. Hey, listen, by the way, we're still in this number one of the triple dipper, ESG. ESG is DOA as far as I'm concerned. That's what I'm calling this, number one on the triple dipper today. And folks, this stuff's legit, man. This is not, please don't think this is that kind of thing that's, oh, it's hidden in the background. It's that little thing that only people have industry knowledge understand. And it's not, no, go look it up. I'm just telling you. ESG scores, most of these major corporations, they're bragging about it because they feel like they have to, because they get doxxed otherwise. They get maligned sometimes by their own woke banks. The investment banks now are also beginning to really sort of inflict the pain on those companies that are not ESG friendly, if you know what I mean. Need that line of credit extended? We may have to reconsider this, because it's not about your profitability now. It's about whether or not your ESG score is high enough. That is not the way the free market works. Now, I am not a rocket surgeon. I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I can tell you right now, that's not the economics 101 at all. That is not the way it works. And the idea that we're going to wind up seeing the world economy retooled over the notions of someone who is subjectively is rating companies based upon whether they are considered to be environmentally friendly enough to Green New Deal style policies, or whether or not they are into social justice and extending, you know, truth into different areas that truth is really not to be found, or that they're going to wind up being governmental enough, meaning that they're overextending themselves. Private companies have no business trying to write public policy. It's one thing to lobby. It's another one to say, government, you need to do things this way from now on, or we're going to make sure that we make it painful for you. Just like Disney down in Florida. What you're looking at with Disney in Florida is a company that forgot themselves. They don't know where they are anymore. They've forgotten that their purpose in life is to entertain and provide a service, and in many ways to provide products. Now they're all about wanting to make sure that the transgender activist agenda understands that they stand with them on the idea of grooming kindergartners, because that's important. And listen, that's not what Disney is supposed to be for. So why? Anyway, the bottom line is this. ESG scores are real. ESG scores are real. And ESG needs to get out of the way. Well, one of the problems we got right now, too, is you may not realize it, but in some places, taxpayer dollars are being used in ESG ways. And how can I say that? Well, I've got a story here from Reason.org. That's two very highbrow sources I've had, Harvard Business Review followed by Reason.org. But listen, this one says, the title of it is, dated February of this year, public pension plans need to consider the risks and the drawbacks of environmental, social, and governance investing. What that basically means is some of the massive portfolios managed by, you know, like, and I don't know for a fact, we're going to have somebody on in a few minutes that will tell us, but like, say, for instance, with the Retirement Systems of Alabama, which handles both the ERS and TRS systems, the Employees Retirement System and the Teachers Retirement System, two different funds, a total of like $52 billion in assets just in Alabama's retirement systems alone. If they are into ESG investing, are they really doing the best they can then for our taxpaying state employees? Well, the Reason.org article I've got right here points out, the goals of ethical investing are easier to enunciate than to accomplish, and while it is attractive to think that public investors, can deploy their assets to optimize environmental, social, and governance conditions, the trade-offs and measurement problems can get in the way. And I would point out to you, by the way, this. In many states, it is not just that the funds are being managed so well that they always have a great return. In many states, you're literally looking at a situation where the tax dollars of every other citizen is having to make up the balance of the account because they are either underfunded or in desperation moment, considered crisis like in Illinois. And so tax dollars go in to prop up these systems. So it's not just benefiting the state employees to have a good system. It's benefiting all taxpayers, because if the system doesn't do well, very often they have what's known as a defined benefit plan, meaning they're going to get a certain pension whether the plan has invested wisely or not. And if they're focused on ESG, you heard me read those studies a minute ago from Harvard Business Review. If they're focused on ESG, then what is that doing to their profitability? If they're focused on ESG with those pension plans for our state employees, what good is that doing for us as the ones who have to keep that plan propped up to the benefit of our state employees? It's reducing profitability in order to be woke, and that is not a good solution. Well, they do this in two ways. ESG portfolios, they wind up getting constructed in two ways. One of them is what they call an exclusionary process. That's where they refuse to work or invest in companies that are in certain categories. Like, for instance, here's one, Pacific Investment Management Company, PIMCO. And I believe this is one of the major portfolios that handles public employee benefit plans. PIMCO refuses to invest in any company that deals with military equipment, that deals with firearms, that deals with what they call private prisons, that deals with the oil and gas industry, or that deals with coal and coal-fired power plants. They refuse to. Doesn't matter the level of profitability. It's basically a stance they've taken, because the ESG stance means more than the profitability. Well, that's one. The other is literally looking at an opportunity to invest in companies that have high ESG scores. You go after them. You look for them. Hey, what's your ESG score? Okay, we'll invest our dollars in you. You don't look at profitability first. You look at ESG scores. Well, that is not a good idea. When you look at things like credit ratings, when you look at things like profitability, that's what you want to know that your tax dollars are going to. And when you see a company that is just got a high score because they really care about the Green New Deal, awesome. Let's put all the taxpayer dollars into that one. And yet, what level of competence and confidence do you have in something like that? Because, see, here's Lawyer Phil talking for a minute. These corporations have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders. Shareholders can even bring a lawsuit against a company if it is found to be something that is literally detrimental to the shareholder's interest. It's called a shareholder's derivative action. It means that the company, the board, if you will, has taken action that has benefited the company in its own ways without benefiting the shareholders. But that's not the way it works. They have a fiduciary obligation to their shareholders. And ESG scores, they should be DOA, because those do not equate to profitability. All right, coming up next, we got my friend Justin Bogie, fiscal analyst at Alabama Policy Institute, to wrap this discussion up with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.